wanker.
Cheating bastard.
Oh, for fucking hell.
Fucking
fuck it up.
Why the fuck?
Fucking liar.
A little tantric fucker.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Fucking cunt.
Twat.
Shit.
Bastard. Punch a kid.
Bullshitting.
What the fuck are you doing?
That was a challenging wank.
Fucking what?
Oh, yeah, shit.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Hello!
Ho, ho, ho.
Yep, ho, ho, ho. Welcome to Darren and Matt's 80s adventure.
Hey, it's Christmas.
Isn't it?
My name is Matt.
And my name is Darren.
This week we are looking at 8-bit Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, we've broken the rules slightly.
We have.
What
are we on, episode 94? Oh,
yeah, episode 94. Yeah.
Yep.
And we've pretty much run out of 80s Christmas films.
Yeah, I mean, ones that we think...
Any good.
Yes.
Yeah, Prancer, we're looking at you. Yeah, so what we've done is we've sort of massaged the rules slightly. So we are doing a film that is set in the 80s.
But it is from 2021.
2021, yeah.
It's weird. It was weird looking at a film from 2021 for the podcast.
Mm, but, you know, needs must and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look, it's Christmas. If we can't break the rules at Christmas.
Exactly. But it's still an 80s themed film.
Yeah.
So
the majority of it takes place in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we're doing it. Tough.
Why not? Yeah.
And if you haven't seen it, have a watch. I think, I mean, the fact you're listening to an 80s podcast.
If you haven't seen this yet, I mean,
I think you'll enjoy it.
It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll get there. We'll get there.
And until next time then, I've been Matt.
And I Anyway, good week.
A lot of work and a lot of putting up Christmas decorations.
Nice. Nice.
Two trees. Down.
Two trees. You have got two trees in the room.
I do.
And that's fantastic.
It's great.
No complaints from me.
No. A lot of work, as always, at this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much it. Watched a terrible Christmas film.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Yeah, Candy Cane Lane.
Oh.
Yeah, Eddie
Now that
Murphy.
Sounds like a porn star. Surely there's a porn star out there called Candy Cane Lane.
I wouldn't know.
Did you research on that bit then?
No, I did not. Yeah, it was Eddie Murphy and he just hasn't, again, chosen well.
Oh, yeah, it seems to be a habit with him, doesn't it?
So if you haven't watched Candy Cane Lane... Doped, quite frankly.
Well, I'm not Matt, but I am Darren. We'll see you next time. There you go. Anyway, yes, good.
So
good.
What about yourself? Have you had a pleasant week?
Very, very pleasant. I'm in rehearsals at the moment for a Christmas show that starts on Thursday, so that's nice. Nice bunch of people. Good, lovely little show for Christmas. And lots of gigs as well.
Bet it's better than Candy Cane Lane.
By the sounds of it. Well, come and see it and then leave a review.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Not as good as Candy Cane Lane.
Oh, harsh. Very, very harsh. Anyway, yes. So the film is set at Christmas 1988.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've just randomly decided to go back to around the beginning of December 1988 for facts and dates and things.
Yeah. And so. Do you know what the cool thing is, though?
Mm-hmm.
Neil Patrick Harris is in this.
He is.
And of course, he was prolific playing Doogie Woogie Howser. Yeah. Yep. That was. 89, and I love him.
Yes, but anyway, we're going to go back to 1988.
Ish.
So, any facts for us?
Yeah, let's do it. All right, here are some facts and some figures, I suppose, from the box office as we looked at the 1st of December 1988. Over in America, then. We had Oliver and Company at number five. I'm just going to say that just outside number five, number six was Ernest Saves Christmas, which we did a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And number four, again, this is another animated, Land Before Time.
Mm-hmm. Dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs. At number three, Tequila Sunrise.
Ooh, yeah. Is that Mickey P. Pfeiffer?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Michelle Pfeiffer, Sir Kurt Russell, and mm-hmm. Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson.
Yeah, Mel Gibson.
We know who he blames.
Number two was Scrooged.
Nice.
And at number one was Naked Gun.
Never heard of it.
Oh, well, I hope you have. We've done it.
We have.
But across this side of the pond.
Uh-huh.
Now, here's a cool thing. Well, I'll tell you in a minute. Number five was Tucker, A Man in His Dream, which we've talked about a few times.
Yep, just a few.
Number four was Cocoon, The Return. Now, I've not watched the Cocoon films in years. Number three was The Bedroom Window. Have you heard of that?
No, not at all.
A young executive starts an affair with his boss's wife, which then escalates into a nightmare after he lies to the police in order to protect her. That stars Steve Guttenberg, who's also in Cocoon, The Return.
Cocoon Return, nice.
But it gets better, but I'll get to that. Number two was Scrooged.
Right.
And number one was Who Framed Roger Rabbit. However, next week, High Spirits comes out with Peter O'Toole
and Steve Guttenberg.
So, actually, the following week, he has three films in the top 10 in the UK. Wow.
It was all about in those days, wasn't it?
Steve Guttenberg was the hottest star of the 80s.
Yeah, one of the hairiest as well. from what I remember him doing Three Men and all that.
Hang on, you just said one of the hairiest when you did Three Men.
As it were. Okay. All right, don't get coarse, it's Christmas.
Do you know what? High Spirits, though, I'd completely forgotten that film existed.
Mm.
I think we need to put that on the list.
If it's an 80s film,
remember,
get it on the list.
Guttenberg, Peter O'Toole and Daryl Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Definitely.
All right.
All right then.
Okay, some other facts about 1988. The irony. So a basketball player, I'm going to maybe butcher the name, Peter Maravich.
Okay.
He had an interview in 1974 and he said, "I don't want to play 10 years in the NBA, then die of a heart attack when I'm 40. Anyway, he died of a heart attack in 1988 at the age of 40 after a 10-year career in the NBA.
Wow. Ouch.
I mean, that's prophesizing, is it not?
Yeah.
But there we go.
Keep it light, Matt.
Jeez. All right. Although the Ghostbusters Proton Pack was the best-selling toy of 1988.
I'm saying that, yeah.
The NES was second Nintendo Entertainment System and cost £95.
Wow.
That's a night out now, isn't it?
Is it ever? Jeez, yeah.
Wasn't sure if I'd had this before, so I'll just say it and see.
Yeah, anyway, yeah.
Quentin Tarantino had a cameo appearance as an Elvis impersonator in a 1980 episode of The Golden Girls.
I think that, yeah, that does
that
ring
rang a bell
to
me. I was like, I wonder. Okay. Also in 1988, it gave us Home and Away, which launched the career of your wife's favourite, Chris Hemsworth.
Don't start her off. Crazy things happen to her when she thinks about him.
I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
And finally, in 1988, New York's Rockefeller Center became a national landmark.
So what does that mean?
Well, I don't know. I guess it can't
just
be.
Went, that's a national landmark.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, okay.
But also, when you think of Christmas in New York, you think of the Rockefeller Center, don't you?
Yeah, you do. Home Alone 2 and all that.
Yeah.
I've been to Rockefeller Center.
Yeah, was it good?
Yeah, very big.
Very big. Did
Wasn't
you go ice skating?
No.
Would you go ice skating?
No.
No.
But I'd go and stand by the tree.
You'd go and stand by the tree and watch people ice skate?
Yeah, yeah.
Great.
And hope Mariah Carey was there butchering a song.
Oh, yes. If you've not seen it on YouTube, there is... I mean, I don't know how much validity there is in it, but it's her singing... What? Singing
attempting to.
To All I Want for Christmas. And it is quite painful.
I mean, I shouldn't laugh because of karma and all that, but fucking hell.
So,
yeah.
Okay, well, those are some facts from 1988. Let's have a look at the charts.
Okay, this week on the podcast, we're looking at the beginning of December 1988. And this week, we are going to look at the UK top 10 from the week commencing the 27th of November 1988. At number 10 this week, up 9 places from last week's 19, it's Bomb the Bass featuring Maureen and Say a Little Prayer. Falling from last week's 4 to this week's 9, it's Salt and Pepper and Twist and Shout. Rising 4 places to this week's 8, it's Smooth Criminal from Michael Jackson. It's a new entry at number 7 this week for Cliff Richard and Mistletoe and Wine. Rising 10 places to number 6, it's Phil Collins and Two Hearts. And falling from last week's 2 to this week's 5 is INXS and Need You Tonight. Last week's 7 is this week's 4. It's Pet Shop Boys and Left to My Own Devices. And it's a non-mover at number 3 for Chris de Burgh and Missing You. This week's highest new entry is at number 2. It's Bross and the double A-side Cat Among the Pigeons and Silent Night. Which means it's a non-mover at number one for Robin Beck and First Time. And that was the UK Top 10 for the week commencing the 27th of November, 1988. That's all right, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's some good songs there. Again, anyone that's listened to Ernest Saves Christmas podcast, a lot of them were in that chart as well. But,
as soon as you said Smooth Criminal, though, it's one of those songs that you just... Such
it is a classic.
Good song.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure we've said it before, it's one of our friends misheard lyrics.
Oh, yeah, Eddie, are you
Eddie,
okay?
Eddie, are you okay? I mean, I've no idea what the hell the song's all about, but it's about Annie, not Eddie, but there we go. Yeah. Justin Shout, Salt and Pepper, fantastic. The evergreen Mistletoe and Wine from Cliff Richard. Mm-hmm. Gotta love a bit of Cliff.
Oh, no, Amy, definitely. Yeah. What was just before Smooth Criminal again?
Justin Shout, Salt and Pepper.
Which I'd never heard them do. I can't think I've heard them do it.
It is Tristan Shout.
Yeah.
Yeah, but with a rap in the middle. Need to Start in excess, as I said. Missing You, Christopher. Robin Beck seems to crop up a lot in our podcast charts with the Coke song, basically. Fucking Bross at number two.
You love Bross.
I fucking hate Bross with a passion. Awful, awful.
Well, they're going to stop listening now.
Fuck them. with respect. At number 11, Deacon Blue, Real Gone Kid.
That's a good tune. Yeah.
At 12, Rick Astley, Take Me to Your Heart.
That's a brilliant Rick song.
It's a good one. Number 16, I love this song. Suddenly from Angry Anderson. That was a Scott and Charlene's wedding song.
Oh, okay. Well, no surprises why it was so popular then. Yeah.
Very, very good song for all the wrong reasons. At 17, Yaz, Stand Up For Your Love Rights. 19, Nathan Jones from Bananarama. 21,
what?
Yeah. What? Nathan Jones,
I thought there was a person. I was like, there was never anyone called Nathan Jones in Bananarama, but there we are.
well, there we go. 21, Kylie Minogue, Je Ne Sais Pas Pourquoi. 22, Milli Vanilli, Girl, You Know It's True. 23, Robert Palmer, She Makes My Day. New entry at 24 this week for George Michael and the great song Kissing a Fool. 25, Gloria Estefan, Miami Sound Machine, and 1, 2, 3. 27.
You need to pause for that song.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a cracker. I love her. I think she's great. 27, Orinoco Flow, Enya.
That's great.
28.
I wouldn't put that as 80s, though. I wouldn't put that early 90s, yeah.
Well, you'd be wrong.
I would.
28, Till I Loved You from Barbara Streisand and Don Johnson.
I'm guessing that's from A Star Is Born. Because that was Don Johnson, wasn't it?
That was about 10 years before that, I think.
Yeah,
Christopher.
I've had vodka.
Did she ever make an appearance in Miami Vice?
I don't know.
I didn't really watch it. 30, a great super group, The Traveling Wilburys and Handle With Care. You've heard of The Traveling Wilburys?
I have, yes.
Love them. Oh, here we go.
George Harrison.
Yep.
And somebody from ELO.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeff.
Jeff Lynn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roy Orbison.
Okay, you see, I knew a little bit. It's only because my old housemate used to talk about The Traveling Wilburys.
Oh, that's fantastic. Fantastic. 33, Kokomo from The Beach Boys. 34, Status Quo, Burning Bridges. 37, Petula Clark with Downtown 88. 38, Brian Ferry, Let's Stick Together 88. 39, Tanita Tikaram, Twisted My Sobriety. Whatever that means. And 40, we call it A Seed with D-Bob featuring Gary Haseman.
Nice.
So that's not a bad wee chart again.
I mean, just on a weird offshoot then, you just reminded me. So since last recording, we've had an announcement of stuff happening in Plymouth. Now, we live in Plymouth. It's okay.
I can think of worse places to live.
But on the whole next year, they've announced some acts that I was very shocked at. So... What, Tom Jones?
Mr. Thomas Jones.
Tom Jones, Bryan Adams.
Bryan Adams returning to Plymouth. I'm not sure if it's one of those urban myth things that he was actually born in Plymouth.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Mm.
Madness.
Great Madness.
And Sting.
And Sting.
I mean, so you look at that for next year, and also we've got Take That next year. So you're kind of going, hang on a second.
Take That.
Yeah, I know, but... This is all shocking to me. Yeah, I mean, those are huge names.
There's still time for the council to fuck it up, though.
Oh, yeah.
Which they normally do. Useless bastards.
But there we go. I mean, that was just a little offshoot where I kind of went, I was a bit shocked at some of the names that were announced to be performing on the Ho next year.
Sting,
and yes,
though, the little tantric fucker.
The little tantric fucker. We don't know it's little.
Anyway, that was the chart for whenever it was in 88.
Okay. Well, now we've had the charts, I suppose it's about time to move on to your challenge. Okay, then every single time we do a podcast, Darren has a challenge to get from last episode to this episode's film in a certain amount of steps. He starts at 5, goes down to 4, 3, 2, 1. So Darren has 3 steps now to get from last time's film, which was
A Christmas Carol,
to this time's film, which is
8-Bit Christmas.
This is probably the biggest time jump ever, so can it be done?
Let's find out. Okay, as Matt said, I've got 3 steps to get from A Christmas Carol in 1984 to 8-Bit Christmas in 2021. But as we know, Edward Woodward was one of the stars. He was the Ghost of Christmas Present in A Christmas Carol. And so that's where we're going to start this week. Step 1. Edward Woodward was in Deadly Advice with Brenda Fricker. Step 2. Brenda Fricker was in Home Alone 2, Lost in New York with John Hurd. And step 3, John Hurd was in Justice League, The New Frontier, with Neil Patrick Harris. And that's the 3-step challenge.
Okay, so did you just reference a DC cartoon?
Apparently so.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I'd never heard of it, but doing a little search around in comparison with biogs and stuff, it popped up.
I can't imagine what Neil Patrick... What, do you know what he played in Justice League?
No idea.
No, okay, great. No. I mean, he'd be good for The Flash or something, but yeah.
Probably would, yeah.
Good. That's great. I never thought you'd be referencing the Justice League on our 80s podcast.
It did take a little while to put that one together. Mm. So I think it just latched onto something. Like, fucking finally.
Thank
something.
You. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And I couldn't not do Home Alone 2.
Well, yeah.
Well, there we go. That's the 3-step challenge.
Okay, then.
Now, as usual in the podcast at this point, we're going to just give our initial reactions to the film 8-Bit Christmas. And being an even-numbered episode, I get to go first.
You, yes. Yes,
yeah.
You do.
It's all right, isn't it? I quite enjoyed it. I first watched this maybe 2 years ago when it first came out. So we watched it again, and it's very enjoyable. It's very funny in places. It's quite sentimental, but very touching. And it's just nice to see a Christmas film reference the 80s, and there's so much there that sort of rings a bell and sort of touches a little nerve, and it's really nice. So initial reaction, it's very enjoyable, it's a lot of fun, some great characters. Yeah, it's good, I like it. And yourself?
Okay, hey. You got me onto this a couple of years ago, I think it was you watched it first, said you should watch this, it's good. Yeah, I liked it. I really did like it.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think it does suffer on repeat viewings. And that's what we do with this podcast. We repeat view. And no, I still enjoyed it. However, I did find myself getting a little bit kind of like, do we need this? Do we need this? But that's just me being picky. Mm-hmm. On the whole, I enjoyed it. But I think it could have been better.
Okay.
But it did still tug at my heartstrings, and there was that nostalgia bite. So, yeah, it was good. So okay. There we go.
There we go. Well, that's our initial reactions. We're going to take a short break now, and then we shall be back to go deeper into the film.
And we're back! Part 2 of Darren and Matt's 80s Adventure, where we are looking at the 2021 film 8-Bit Christmas.
Yeah, we are. Regular listeners to the podcast will know that at this point in said podcast, Matt has a challenge to give us the synopsis of the film. And he has as many seconds as the film has minutes. So, Matt, how long was the film?
Well, Mr. Darren, it was 1 hour and 37 minutes.
So you have 1 minute, 37 seconds to give us the synopsis. Are you ready?
Indeed, I am.
Then let's have the jingle, jangle, jingle. And if you're still ready, go.
We start with Jake telling his daughter that she can't have a phone for Christmas. He then tells her he knows how she feels, as back in 1988, he felt the same way about the Nintendo Entertainment System. Imagine a PC had sexy time with an arcade machine, and that is the NES. We flash back to meet a young Jake who goes to Timothy's house along with others to play Nintendo. He's so desperate to own one that he asks his parents, who eventually kind of say no. In a new development, the Power Glove comes into possession of the spoiled Timothy, and in a fit of gaming rage, destroys his TV and nearly kills Timothy's dog. Our hero Jake needs a Nintendo more than ever. He tries selling wreaths, and the prize is Nintendo. He wins, but unfortunately the parents are having a blanket ban on consoles due to Doggate. He is tired of shoveling shit and wearing girly boots, damn it, but he does it because he loves his dad and his mom. Jake and his friends hatch a plan to sell baseball cards and on a trip to Chicago buy a Nintendo. Plan in place, all seems to go well till Jake falls on some ice, crushing the Nintendo and his dreams with it. One last chance is Christmas morning, but no Nintendo. However, when they're about to leave for the grandparents, Jake gets the best present he could ask for, a tree fort his father built him. Back in the present, Jake's daughter gets the message, and as we look around the table, we see that Jake's father is no longer with us, but the things they created with each other are all around. And I'm not crying, you're crying.
Okay. Just a reminder, how long was the film?
1:37.
So you have 1 minute 37 seconds. You did it in, drum roll, 1 minute 26 and a half. Yeah, nice. See, you were worried about not doing it. Yeah,
so well, you done it. I saw a lot of text in front of me and went, and you kind of get a feel after nearly 100 episodes whether it's going to be...
Crikey Moses.
Yeah, I know, right?
Getting closer to the magic 100.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there we go. Yeah, nice. Nicely done.
There was a bit of a shoehorn with sexy time, wasn't
there? Yeah, there was. Yeah, I was shaking my head. But yeah, in a film like this, it's difficult.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Good luck with next week's as well.
Oh,
not that I don't know what it is, obviously.
No, clear.
Right, okay then, 8-Bit Christmas. Mm. Any alternate castings or anything for us?
Not that I could see.
No. Okie dokie.
I mean, I think because this was essentially, I think it was made for HBO Max, wasn't it? And although I think it would have been nice for this to have had a theatrical release. I don't think it would, you know, it wouldn't have any idea on budget.
I couldn't find anything about budget.
I can't imagine it cost a lot. So
no, I mean effects-wise, there's not much.
No.
If anything. But yeah, as you said, originally made for HBO Max, released on the 24th of November 2021, from a book by Kevin Jacobowski.
Kevin 80s.
Kevin Jacobowski. Kev 80s. Who also wrote the screenplay for the film as well. I hadn't realised until started looking further into the film that it was actually from a book. But I guess it makes sense.
Do you know what? Talking about the money and things like that, I guess when you're making a film set in the 80s, clearly the clothes have got to be 80s. Mm-hmm. But what I quite appreciated about this, and I've seen to the negative actually, where people were expecting it to kind of be all, you know, leg warmers and, you know, Don Johnson suits and stuff like that. I quite like the subtlety of the costumes in this. Yeah.
But also that was more leg warmers, especially were early 80s, weren't they, rather than late 80s.
And, this, you know, you're going 88. Yeah, I quite like the costume itself was kind of, they treated the 80s like it wasn't just this garish decade.
Exactly. We wore jeans and jumpers.
Yeah.
Pretty much as now. You can see from the extremes that there were garish things. And
like his boots for a start.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I like the look of the film. It looks very, there are a few bits where they're going down the motorway to go shopping, and you can see on the opposite side, they haven't actually bothered to close that lane off or that carriageway off. So it's just modern cars coming.
Oh, really?
But you know, if you look for it, you're going to find it, aren't you? Because it's 30 odd years later. But yeah, going through the film, Neil Patrick Harris is very, very good.
The thing is, I find him very likable in actually whatever he does. I've never looked at a performance and gone, oh, that's a bit rubbish.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Yeah, he as old Jake and the narrator, he has that sort of, I don't know, there's something quite jovial about him and not just sort of, whereas his father is quite fatherly, he's more sort of a friend.
I think that was a thing.
Mm.
I mean, as children, and you know, we would have been roughly, give or take, the same age as him in the 80s. Yeah. And, you know, I know my dad was very, a man of few words, you know, very, not very emotional or anything like that. And you've seen our generation that go on to actually be quite emotional with their kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, so yeah, I guess we do see this.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how your pops was or...
Still now he's very sort of guarded with his emotions, but when because he's a man of that generation, he's from the 40s, born in the 40s.
As you imagine, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
As you imagine his father.
He was never as miserable as... he's not that miserable, is he, Jake's father?
No, he's not. But I relate to Jake in the respect of like, so his dad was into carving stuff and, you know, making and fixing up the house.
Yeah.
And I guess, I mean, I was certainly raised with, you know, when are you going to do this or when are you going to do that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We definitely have rules and job roles and things like
but
that.
But also the fathers did as well. Mm. Like, when are you going to paint that fence?
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And,
yeah. Chores.
And I guess, yeah, it really resonated with me, that sort of stoic father that was kind of, yeah, that would go along with what the mum would say.
Yeah, and I love the bit. I mean, the mum's great as well. Yeah. but one of my favourite bits was when they're waiting for the announcement to see which schools are going to be shut because it's a snow day.
Oh, yeah.
And her school is not being shut. And she just fucking loses it for a couple of seconds and then, right, come on, off you go to school.
Yeah, I told you, kids, it wasn't
going to
happen.
God damn it! Yeah, so I really like that. I couldn't get past the fact, and I don't really remember the film that well. We did it for the podcast, A Christmas Story.
Oh,
but
it is.
Seems like
it is a Christmas story.
The same story, but just set in 30 years later.
But that's it. I mean, this is one of my... I've literally written the note. It is very much a Christmas story for us that were born in the 70s.
Yes, yeah. I think Christmas, so they're looking for... He wants a gun or something, doesn't he?
Yeah, he wants a BB Ranger...
Something like that, yeah.
Red Ranger, something.
Yeah. But the parents are just a sort of a bit bonkers.
But
you've also got
a father that's, you know, doesn't communicate with the son.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't get a lamp in the shape of a leg or anything.
No.
But yeah, I mean, there's definite... It's more than similarities. It's pretty much just an updating of that story.
And I really like Steve Zahn as well. I've liked him in most of the stuff I've seen him in, to be fair.
Yeah.
And I think as this father, he was good because he had that get out. And it was the little things which I thought were nice where he was like, yeah, go pick up the dog crap. Don't worry about doing it behind, just where we can see it.
Mm.
And, you know,
that's a lot of dog shit in the garden, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Fucking hell. Pick them up. Christ.
But was he think it's easier?
What? It's got a shovel to pick it up.
Not just that. It's snowing.
And it's
frozen.
They've
gone solid. Yeah.
Yeah, I have to say, we've just come through a pretty cold snap for a few days, haven't we?
So have you been picking up dog
picking up Missy's frozen dog poos. It's a dream.
Have you did like when you went out to pick it up, did Sarah say, right, don't go behind there because she's built you a tree fort or something?
No.
Right, okay then.
Yeah, fair enough. I do like him. I think he's great, Steve. He is treading that sort of line between, you know, sort of Victorian parenting and what we have now. So he is very strict, but then there is also that loving side as well that does come through.
The tool they used of replacing what was probably goddamn or whatever else to like God bless him or you know, I thought that was really nice and something they didn't sort of lean into too much or reference.
Nope, it just happens.
It just happened, and I was like,
two or three times.
That's a really good piece of writing, actually.
Yeah, I like that. But then, obviously, as you said about Neil Patrick Harris being the dad as well. I like him sort of bullshitting about health and safety to, you know, say, no, of course we wore helmets when we were on bikes and stuff like that. And so character-wise, those families, or that family, I think are really, really good.
And really relatable, I think, for, yeah, for yeah, people our age that were sort of born in the 70s, you know, late 70s for myself, that...
You just can't do it, can you?
No, but I think, you know, it is really relatable. Because I looked at him, if he's meant to be 11 there, I mean, I was 10 in 1988. So it is...
Yeah, I was about 10 or 11. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So, but I completely related to this kid because I really wanted a Nintendo Entertainment mm-hmm. System. And I did get one, I think, probably about 89. It wasn't for Chris. I think it was for my birthday in 89. So not long after he got one. And it came with Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt. So I had the gun with it as
Who's
well.
Who's
Duck Hunt.
Duck Hunt.
But I never got the power glove because apparently the power glove was shit.
Oh, well, apparently so, yeah. I like the way they listened to the... As my parents, I don't know if yours did. I remember when I was a kid, you know, if something new came out or somebody was a little bit... Something like Madonna. They would listen to everyone's fears and,
yep.
Oh, you know, this is the work of the devil, or, you know, sit too close to the TV, you get square eyes. Anything, if you know, one of their friends or somebody on the news said, oh, this is evil, you know, this is causing people to go out and kill people, or whatever, mm-hmm. they'd fall for it. They would be... As Jake's parents do as well, the whole thing about...
I bet a load of that happened. Yeah. I mean, my dad was actually really good, so we'd had computers a lot growing up, so I think there was no danger of that with the NES. However, years later, when I wanted to, you know, go onto the internet, our mum was like, oh, this is never going to take off. Never going to take off. So famously said to me, this internet thing is never going to take
off. It's a fad.
It's a fad. Yeah, but that's when we were putting discs in and using FreeServe to get online.
Bloody hell.
Dial up,
Christ, yeah. That was a challenging wank.
So, but seriously, so I do remember my mother telling me this internet thing. And then, you know, the whole internet stuff is bad or whatever else. So I've seen that slightly. But no, she was always very good with video games.
Mm. Fair enough. Yeah, that's good. yeah, so those characters are quite relatable. And then we get into the over-the-top, not-so-believable characters. People like Timmy.
Timmy's very one-dimensional.
He's very one-dimensional. He's a twat. His parents are twats. The teachers seem to be twats. They're just not very well drawn. I mean, I like the kids. I think maybe it does suffer from, as Sayers was saying when we were watching it, it suffers from a little bit of Stranger Things-itis, maybe, because being such big fans of Stranger Things, the kids are so lovable and recognisable in that, and we identify with them so much. So this bunch of kids are almost like a, not a rip-off, because it's completely different genres and things like that, but you sort of look at them and think, oh, well, that's a bit like Lucas, that's a bit like... all the names just gone out of my head now.
No, I get what you're saying.
And I think the characters, because they're not drawn as well as the kids in Stranger Things, I think maybe it does suffer a little bit because of that.
I hear what you're saying, and I think there's a good reason for that. Stranger Things has seasons upon seasons upon seasons to get to know the different characters. Mm. And we started with three. Don't forget, it wasn't really four, because Will was in the Upside Down in Stranger Things.
Yeah, so. And 11 wasn't really a character as such. She's
so we got to know
mute,
three kids.
It? Yeah.
You know, but this, we're expecting to know, I don't know, they've got the twins, and then you've got...
The liar.
You've got the sick kid. You've got the weird kid. You've got the... Yeah. So there's a lot of characters to try and fit into a film that is 1 hour 37. So I think there's probably a danger of there was too many characters, maybe. Mm.
Yeah, I just don't think they're drawn very well. I don't think they're characterised very... I mean, not taking anything away from the kids, the actors,
because
they're great. They're really, really good.
I don't know. I think Tim, the sport kid, I think was probably all he needed to be. He was that catalyst. You had the twins. That was cool. The liar kid, I thought, was great, because we all knew...
A bullshitter.
A fucking liar at school. And they would come in with these ridiculous stories. I mean, you must have had that.
Oh, God. Yeah, I think I knew more than one. I think I probably told a few lies myself.
Yeah, I know, but nothing to that. I mean, did you nip out today to be Tom Cruise's stunt double?
Yeah, I do. Oh, cool. Most days.
Of course you did. Yeah.
And Chris Hemsworth's body double.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
I think maybe if they'd limited it to, I don't know, him and his best friend or something, you know, yeah. If they'd have, I don't know, it's just an option. But I did quite like the way that there was that many characters when it came to doing, call it, I don't know, the heist, the heist section.
I really enjoyed that. That was, okay, that's one of my highlights. Mm-hmm. Was the bit where they're on the bus and they're going to wherever they're going and they stop. You know, the sick kid makes himself sick.
You know exactly where they're going. It's just one of your questions for the quiz later.
Shut up. So I really, that was my first highlight is that whole sort of, not great escape section, but it is sort of a great escape section. It's a little adventure where they plan how they're going to go and buy it and they plan how they're going to stop, make the bus stop and... I thought it was a really, really good moment. It's a lot of fun. And him going in and the liar kid distracting the two mothers.
Yeah.
I thought it was really, really a good, fun moment. It doesn't get bogged down. There are a few moments throughout the film where sort of 2020s sensibilities sort of take over with the whole thing. Oh, what's wrong with wearing purple shoes? Or what's wrong? What's the difference with girls' shoes?
Well, I mean, but she said that, didn't she?
His that's what I'm saying, yeah. So there are a few moments where that came in. Fuck off, get rid of it. And that was just, you know, a Stand By Me moment with the kids going and doing their thing and having this little adventure. So therefore, that was my first highlight.
Well, actually, that is one of my highlights as well. I have put the high section. It was really fun. However, got a bit of a criticism about it. I think it could have been cleverer.
Right.
I think they could have done something else. Yes, they used the skill sets or whatever else. So they used the twins. I don't know, for the baseball cards to get the money.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been nice having the big bully accidentally playing a part or something.
Okay.
I don't know. I just think it maybe could have been expanded on because I think there was a few bits in this film that it kind of lost its energy, which is the whole wreath selling section was so dull. It wasn't the first time watching it.
It was long.
But yeah, second time you kind of go, and then there was a bit of confusion where like, he locked on one door and this guy's going, no solicitors, whatever else. And then later on in this montage, you've got the big kid at school holding a guy in a headlock. Mm. It's the same guy, but in a different house.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay. I think the whole wreath and the scout section could have been actually maybe taken out and then maybe made this section kind of like the end of Home Alone, where it's a long section, but it's... You know, I think it could have been funnier in that respect. Do you know what I mean? Or am I just...
I think maybe I would have liked to see a bit more jeopardy in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite simple. The only jeopardy really is the two mothers. I don't know.
I do like the callback to, you know, outside that mall where the Santa is.
Yes.
And he slips on the ice.
Yeah. As an adult, again, yeah.
You know,
yeah. Spoilers, by the way.
But yeah, I don't know. I really liked the high section, but I just wanted more of it. That's my thing, because I wanted less of the wreath selling stuff.
Okay, my second highlight is just the whole 80s pop culture thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to be fair, the film doesn't get bogged down in too much 80s
stuff. It really doesn't, does it? Because it doesn't feel alien. Like some 80s films or TV shows, it feels like, right, we're going to the 80s.
Yeah, and that's, well, we didn't have that. We didn't have that. And too much is shoehorned in. With this, it isn't. But what is there is very identifiable. You know, the Swatch watches and moon boots, going to a roller arena or roller rink, cabbage patch
dolls. I thought
of
you. I'm sorry. When they went to that roller disco, right. And she was like, what's a roller disco?
Yeah.
I was like, Darren would know, because he went to the YMCA every Saturday night.
Don't you know? Fucking loved it. Couldn't do it now. Well,
then why didn't you ice skate at Rockefeller Center?
Because they didn't have an ice rink there.
I know, but when you go back.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm going to have to go back first.
All right.
References to Freddy Krueger and all the... I just thought it was great. And I really, so many things just, I'd have a little smile on my face when they were mentioned or you see them or whatever. So yeah, I very, very much enjoyed that.
Okay.
That's my second highlight.
Okay.
Yourself?
My second highlight was, quite frankly, the emotion at the end. Okay. You know, I watched it twice this weekend and twice it got me. It gut punched me when, right. when he looked at the chair, it was his father's chair, and when he just held hands with his mum, because still keeping it light, but I mean, like, nearly 20 years ago, I lost my dad around Christmas, and, you know, it was a really hard Christmas afterwards. And I've kind of, again, I identified with that guy who's then with his mother after Christmas, having lost that. And it was a real gut punch. And maybe that's why it hit me harder than it maybe should have. But both times it really got me. And whatever else I thought of the film, it gut punched me at the end. And I thought it was a really nice ending. So yeah, without getting too emotional, that was, I think it really resonated with me.
Mm. Yeah, no, I get that. Me and Sess watched it Thursday night, I think it was. It was a case of, I'm not crying, you're crying.
Yeah.
At the end, because it is a really, really tough, and it sort of comes out of nowhere.
It really does, because you'd imagine for a film to get you that much at the end, it's going to have had you all the way through.
Yeah.
I don't think the film had me all the way through, but the end is beautiful.
Mm.
So there we are. Yeah, that's my second highlight. It's nice. The emotion at the end. It really, because if I didn't care, I wouldn't have cried. So
yeah. Okay, my first low light then. It's some of the humour I didn't find particularly funny. Some of the gags didn't land very well. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the stuff in the old folks' home. The weird kid Connor. Some of what he was saying and doing.
Like eating erasers and licking his glove. Yeah.
Some of it was, is that supposed to be funny? And it wasn't childish humor, it just wasn't funny humor. Some of it was a bit wide of the mark and didn't land very well.
I suppose a bit like having the kid that is clearly not a kid, you know, that's 10 years older than or something. Yeah. I don't know, maybe not 10 years, because they're meant to be around about 11, aren't they? Mm. So he was.
I think he was 18 when they did the film, or 19.
It felt a bit out of context,
Yeah.
I mean, my first, sorry, I didn't realise that I'd accidentally sort of given away my first lowlight was the wreath section, and I think also the mall section, where they first go to the mall with the retainer and the Nintendo talking in the cabin.
Mm.
It didn't advance the story at all, so I think the middle really dropped.
Hmm.
It didn't first time I watched it.
And there's such elongated sections as well. That whole thing with the Nintendo in the shop.
Yeah.
And the retainer thing's just fucking gross anyway.
Didn't advance anything. No. So I think there was other sections that could have been expanded but weren't. And yeah, so I've kind of covered that.
Okay. My second low light, bizarrely, having referenced it just now, is the character of Josh Jagorski.
Right.
The big kid. What was he supposed to be? Because nobody seems to know. Is he a kid with, you know, some sort of gigantism or something? Or is he...
Or I guess in American schools you get held back.
Held back? But how long has he been fucking held back for? 10 years?
I think so.
But also, he's just weird.
He's no Eddie, is he, from Stranger Things?
He's definitely not no Eddie. Definitely not no Eddie.
Yeah, definitely not no Eddie. He's
definitely not no Eddie, no man. But yeah, and his what he was given to do was just embarrassing. He's quite annoying. He's weird. Like,
why the fuck would you want to beat? What is it? Punch a kid until juice comes out of their face? Or what was it? Like, Kool-Aid comes out of their face.
Yeah. Oh, pound your face until
Kool-Aid. Because they're wearing boots.
But then his comeuppance on the bus as well. It's just. Oh, is that all you're going to do to him?
There was no arc there at all. No. I mean, I guess we're talking about a film called 8-Bit Christmas about someone trying to get a Nintendo, which maybe is not what the film's about.
But, you know, if you're going to set up these characters and give them a story, a through line, it was just weird. It made me feel uncomfortable, I think, as well, which is just...
What? I mean, okay, just off the top of my head, what they should have maybe done is expanded the Timothy role, where after he'd lost Nintendo or whatever else, he started bullying the other kids.
Yeah.
And he became the bully of the entire thing.
Well, he just disappeared.
Yeah, he disappeared. So maybe they should have actually kept the through line with that character, that he was pissed off or whatever else and took out on the other kids. And then they actually went, no, fuck you, and stood up to him. Because actually, that rich kid never got any closure or whatever else. So yeah, if they'd have combined... Yeah.
See, apart from a squash dog.
We should write stuff.
Exactly. But also, if this was a true 80s movie, And Jake would have ended up sucking him in the face and knocking him out.
Yeah.
Which he should have done.
Or maybe done the crane kick.
Well, cheating bastard. But that's not going to happen in the 2021 thing, is it? No violence, thank you very much. But anyway, yeah, so that's my second low light.
Okay, my second low light is how many fucking fake outs on the Nintendo? I'm going to get it here. Oh, I'm not. I'm going to get it here. Yeah. No, I'm not. I'm going to get it here. No, I'm not. It just, right, it would have been fine to not have the one from Uncle Dan at the end.
Mm.
I was like, why did you do that? Why, you know, this whole package comes down. And had it not been Nintendo, what was the point in that? Because we've just gone through three or four different scenarios where they're trying to get in. So he's asked them. They've said no. He's done the scout thing. That didn't happen. One blew up underneath the bus. One they couldn't get from a dodgy dealer. You know, there's four examples there of when they could have got it. So we did not need a last one from Uncle Dan in Japan.
Uncle Dan in Japan.
Quite frankly, I just think they were really egging it at that point. They didn't need that many fake-outs.
Yeah, fair enough.
For it to then be, well, no, I got one the next summer when I worked as a caddy or something, you know.
To be fair, that didn't bother me that much. But I get what you're saying. Okay, then, well, that's our highs and our lows. A quick mention of the soundtrack. Actually, that's another real highlight for me. I mean, musically, the score was composed by Joseph Trapanese, who is responsible for things like The Witcher and things like that.
Do you know what The Witcher is?
I've heard of it.
I bet your wife watches it.
I would imagine so. But yeah, the score itself is nice.
As soon as it started, Darren, I thought of you.
What, Marshmallow World?
Yeah, it starts with Marshmallow World, and that's a song that Darren and I do listen to. You and Sarah's discovered it, didn't you?
It's a cracker, isn't it? Absolute cracker. Joseph Trapanese, just going back to the actual original score for a bit. It's very nice. There's bits that are very sort of 80s styly. There's lots of keyboard stuff in there. Almost 8-bit sounding stuff. But then actually just looking at the actual soundtrack, like you said, you've got Marshmallow World.
Mm-hmm.
The Paperboy theme turns up in there, which is
great.
It's fucking brilliant. And then you've got things like...
It's no Daily Thompson to Catherine.
Well, obviously. My fingers are still aching because of that.
Because of that.
Shut up. And you've got things like Holding Out for a Hero, Obsession, which is the one where he's wearing the boots, very much like the clothes show theme.
What was playing during the roller disco?
Offhand,
it was brilliant. I was like, yes, because I'm sure we've heard them.
Town Called Malice is there.
No, but it wasn't there.
I don't think it was that bit.
Really good story, Matt. Well done.
Yeah, well done. Offhand, I've absolutely no idea what that could be. But there's so much stuff. I mean, as well as obviously things like Jingle Bells, Silent Night, Jolly Old St. Nick, Sleigh Ride, and Santa Got Stuck in the Chimney. It's a really, 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 really good soundtrack. And I like it a lot.
And in part three, we will tell you exactly what song was played during the road discourse, because we will play it during the break we'll find out.
Yeah, okay.
It was good. It was a good soundtrack. Mm. And there were the little 8-bit incidental bits of music. You can almost see, almost like our background on our podcast, where you see the
liney thing.
The line.
Yeah, yeah. The 8-bit looking stuff.
We're so coherent now.
Isn't it? Fucking hell, yeah. Anyway, I think we should take a break.
Yes, definitely take a break.
I need a pee.
And we're back! Part three of Darren and Matt's 80s Adventure, where we have ventured to the year 2021, however, 88, via 1988, because of Doogie Howser. And we are, still looking at 8-bit Christmas, and we're going to get quizzical now, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. Let's get quiz kit.
So we did look up that song.
Yes, we did.
And it was?
Tell No Lies by Spoons.
Which... is not as familiar as I thought it was, but there
we go. But there we go. Anyway, that's the song. If you know it, you know it. I don't.
Eyes down for a full house.
Right then. At this point in the podcast, we have a little quiz, as Matt was saying.
Yeah.
We're at episode 94, so we've had three quizzes of this block of 10 so far.
Yes, we have.
And as it stands, the score is... two to Matt and one to me.
It never happens. I mean, I'm not getting my hopes up, so there we go.
Hey, come on, buddy, you can do it.
Oh, yeah.
This time you can
it's
win that.
It's a Christmas miracle.
It's a Christmas miracle. Now, being an even-numbered episode, I get to ask the first question. Oi, oi, oi. So where do we go from here?
Like, really easy.
Yeah, maybe. Right, question one then.
Yeah.
In Timmy's basement,
mm-hmm.
what does the neon sign above Timmy's TV say?
I think it says
mm-hmm.
arcade.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah, baby! Woohoo!
First blood to you.
First blood to me. All right. Can I ask you what school they go to?
It is one of mine. It's something like Mary Lincoln Elementary.
It's very close. I'm going to give you the opportunity to add to it.
I know there's another word, isn't there?
There is another word.
Oh, fucking hell, what is it? No, oh, I can't remember. You're a bitch, you really are.
I'm not. I tell you what. Here's my deal to you. Would you have given this to me for that?
Of course I would have.
Right, okay then. I won't then. Because if you would have, I would have done it. But then
Mary Todd Lincoln Elementary.
Correct.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Ah, come on. See, the brain does work sometimes.
I was literally prepared to give it to you. All right. But then when you went,
so
no,
didn't
I
have to use up those brain cells after all. Okay. Question two for you then.
Mm-hmm.
How many wreaths does Jake sell to the residents at the nursing home?
Oh, there's so many wreath numbers, isn't there? I didn't write any of them down, to be fair, because they're not my questions. In my head, it's... Oh, is that in total, though? I've got two numbers in my head.
Right.
I've got 63 and 97. Are either of those correct?
Mm.
All right. 63.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Oh, 97.
Is it actually?
No, 47.
Okay. All right. Okay. What didn't Santa get Jake's sister last year?
Oh, okay. Oh, I don't know that one. There's not my final answer, though. Didn't get her... Is it going to be the same? Didn't get her a Cabbage Patch Kid? I don't know. I'll go with that.
Incorrect.
Right.
She-Ra.
Okay.
He didn't get her a She-Ra last year, so therefore she can't depend on Santa and has to go with the parents this year.
Fair enough. Okay, so after two questions each, it's 2 points each. Yeah, I went with the Cabbage Patch Kids thing because I think it's very late. I'm sure Cabbage Patch Dolls came out in 83 or 84, something like that.
But then again, the Nintendo came out in 83.
Did it?
In Japan. Right. I mean, I'm guessing it hit the States around about 86, 87. Yeah. We didn't get it till about 88, 89, I think. Right. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm drunk.
Nice. Oh, now do I ask that one? No, I'll save that. Just in case. Okay, Jake says, whose dad is embarrassing?
Yeah, this is older Jake as well.
Mm, just before he slips over on the
ice. Yeah, before he falls over.
I'm not embarrassing. Dad is embarrassing.
I mean, that's Molly Jones.
Molly Jones?
Yeah.
Incorrect. Maeve.
Right, Maeve's dad.
Maeve's dad, yeah. Right. Okay.
Right, so we want a names one, do we?
Okay, okie dokie.
So, who do Jake's parents abandon their children in a mall to go and get a present for?
Oh, God. It's something like the Fuddermans, but it's not the Fuddermans. No, the Fieldmans. I don't know.
No, you had it right with the F. The Fenelons, or how do you say it?
The what? The who?
The Fenelons, or the
Okay, I'll take your word for that. There we go then. Okay, so after three questions each, it's 3 points each, which means it's a tiebreak situation. So therefore, question number four for you. Where did Jake's grandparents live?
Minnesota.
Correct. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, see, that was a nice question.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Okay, I'll try and do the same.
You lie.
What game does Jake play in the mall?
I fucking knew you were going to ask this, and I completely fucking glossed over it. Fucking hell. I can't remember. Tomahawk. I can't remember. No idea.
Rampage.
Okay, then. So there we go. After four Woo-hoo! Questions each, it's 5-3 to you. You've hey! Taken another one. Hey,
it's a Christmas miracle.
It's a Christmas miracle. That means after four quizzes in this block of 10, it's 3-1 to you.
That's never happened.
I'm going to have to fucking up my game next time, aren't I? Jesus. Although, but next time, we're not in charge.
We're not in charge.
We're not in charge, baby.
Wow. Okay, anyway. So alternates?
Oh, yeah, shit. Hang on, put my bins back on. what does Red Dog change his code name to?
Red Dog changes his code name to... I know what Blue changes to, which is like something like Millennium Falcon Super something. No, I can't remember now.
Oh, damn it. I thought Rambo 1. The Mom, your reef sucks guy is wearing what numbered shirt?
18?
34. Oh. According to his sister, Esprit is not French for what?
I genuinely get this. Like, cool?
Correct. What are the dog's injuries?
Broken leg.
Specifically?
Lots.
Broke three legs and a few ribs.
Right.
What is there on the wall of the kids' playground?
Damn it. Do you know what's there on the wall?
When they have recess.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something on the wall.
Crucifix?
No, five pictures of sportsmen.
Okay.
What number is Jake's house?
24.
Correct. What's the name of the player on the F face baseball card?
Oh, I forgot it.
Ah, fuck. I've forgotten it.
Yeah, I know, because yeah. I've got into baseball. You thought I'd remember that. Yeah.
Bill Ripken.
Is that a real thing? Did you check that out?
Yep.
It's a real thing.
And the card was real as well. How long did it take older Jake to drive to grandma's house?
58 minutes with traffic.
What time was game time at Timmy's house?
Seems too early, but I want to say 8 a.m.
8 a.m. Now, I'm not sure the actual correct name for what he was wearing, but I'm going to go with this anyway. What was written on the back of Timmy's karate gi?
Don't know.
Crimson Dragon Taekwondo.
Well, because that's more expensive than karate.
Okay.
Apparently, that's what you said, isn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah, he's a Taekwondo master because Taekwondo is like karate, but more expensive.
Okay. What time was it on the kitchen radio when it was announced about Snow Day?
8:21.
And what make was the radio?
Oh, I don't fucking... Sanyo?
Because I'd never heard of it. A space maker. This was my bastard question. I wish I fucking asked it now. When Lizzie is marking the homework for her mother...
It's okay to lose sometimes. Yeah,
I know. No, it's not. When Lizzie is marking the homework for her mother, whose homework is she marking?
Oh, for fuck's sake. That is a bastard question, but I know that if she put love's hearts above the eyes, then she gets across.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Just fucking hell. Jenny Jablecki. Whose boots does it look like Jake is wearing?
Well, his wife's.
What, when he's 11?
Yeah, well, he marries her later.
What's her name?
Rebecca.
Katie. Sorrentino.
Yeah.
Well, what's the name of the nursing home?
Twin Pines.
Prairie Pines. what's the name of Timmy's dog?
Elwood.
Lacey.
No, Elwood is their dog.
What's Connor's most favourite letter of the alphabet?
Oh, yeah, because he went through it. Y.
T. And finally, where did Jake work as a caddy?
Prairie Pines Golf.
Correct.
But yeah, so yeah. Which is the same as the...
As the nursing home.
Yeah, as the nursing home.
There you go. That's my alternatives.
Wanker. Okay.
What do you mean, wanker? You won.
Yeah, I did. How fast can he get to Timmy King's?
Don't know.
Just under 8 minutes.
Oh, right, okay.
What is the first neon sign we see as the kids go into the basement?
Ooh, is that bar? Obviously not then. Don't know.
Gone fishing.
Gone poaching.
And what does the pinball machine say?
Oh, I noticed it as well. It's just one word, isn't it? I can't remember. I was going to write it down, but I can't remember.
Scuba.
Scuba, yeah.
How many sizes too big did they buy his sweatshirt?
Two?
Yep.
Yeah.
Who almost got frostbite from playing outside?
Can't remember.
Evan Olsen. You referenced him earlier. Who's the weirdest kid in school?
Is it not Connor?
Connor.
Oh, I can't remember his surname.
Stump.
Connor Stump. Okay.
What is Jake's full name?
Jake Doyle. I don't know if it has a middle. No, I don't know. Is that just Jake Doyle?
Nope.
Nope, no idea.
Jake Stephen Doyle.
Okay.
So when he gets reprimanded in the mall, he says, Jake Stephen Doyle.
Yep. Well, yeah, I remember that from being a kid as well.
Yeah, that's it.
Use your full name.
What brothers are selling Cabbage Patch dolls?
Can't remember. I remember exactly the scene, but I can't, yeah.
The Diaz brothers.
Diaz, right.
Up in the hills. How much did John pay for the Cabbage Patch doll?
75?
70.
70.
And how much were the infamous purple boots?
I don't know.
$11.99.
Oh, okay. Was that there we go. With a coupon or without?
Well, that's it. We don't know. But she did say she paid $11.99 for them. Right. So those are my alternate questions.
Nice. Okay. Well, there we go.
It's this thing, isn't it? So there's so many of your questions I'd have known, so many I didn't. Same, literally vice versa.
Again, just picking the right or the wrong questions.
You play the player, don't you? Yeah, that's the thing.
Absolutely.
You played the player work very
this week.
Well.
It has worked for the last fucking few weeks. Jesus.
Maybe anyway. Maybe I'm cottoning onto your game.
Maybe you are. Maybe I need to change my game.
Oh, no.
Yep. Right, well, anyway, I guess that's last orders at the bar.
Last orders at the bar, please. Last orders at the bar.
Well, there we go. That's our look at 2021's 8-Bit Christmas, directed by Michael Dowse. A bit of a leap, if you like, for the podcast. But
it's but
definitely,
you know what?
An 80s.
I don't mind the fact we're doing it. It's set, if it was like the odd scene in the 80s, okay. But it's set heavily in the 80s.
It is literally just the odd scene in 2021, isn't it?
And it really rings a bell. No, but it does. It resonates with us.
100%. And it's a pretty good film. I enjoyed it. And I like the fact that, you know, at the end, as a lot of films would do, he would end up getting the Nintendo on Christmas Day, Christmas morning. And he doesn't. So that's a nice little twist. And I also like the logo.
Little twist.
Don't get it. I like the logo as well. The fact it's red and green, so nice and Christmassy. But the fact it's designed to look
like a game.
Yeah. So there's lots of nice little things there. But to sum up and give it a score, do I think it's a classic? I think it probably will be a film that I watch every Christmas. I enjoyed it. It could do with a trim here and there. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Arguably, not a lot happens. They could do with a few more adventurous ideas. But I liked it. I liked the characters on the whole. And it is a good bit of fluff. It's a good bit of fun. It's always nice to have an 80s Christmas movie. I mean, Neil Patrick Harris as well. It's fantastic. So I am going to give it. I'm going to give it a 7.
Okay.
Over to you.
I really wanted to give it an 8.
Right. Oh, because, nice.
8 for Christmas. Yeah. I really did. I really wanted to give it an 8, but it just does not stand up to repeat viewing. So the first time I saw this, I was like, this is brilliant. And then we said about doing the podcast, so I watched it. I went, yeah, good. But it's then watching it again within 24 hours, you're like, okay. You start to notice the flaws, don't you? And they're not gaping, but there are pacing issues. It's a bit dull in the middle. The end, sucker punches you and really gets you in the feels. And you're right. It is lovely to see a film is it going to be a classic? I don't think it is going to be a classic. Is it a film I will watch again? Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's something, do you know what? I think it takes me a long time to decorate my trees. It's probably going to, because I bought it. Mm-hmm. On YouTube, and I think it's a film that I might put on yearly whilst I'm decorating my trees, and I know what's going on. I don't have to concentrate too much. Neil Patrick Harris is charming as always. Mm-hmm. He is delightful. I like it. And do you know what? The kid actors were great.
Yeah.
Really good. And that's sometimes a rare thing. I think, anyway, all that waffling aside, I'm erring on the side of a 6, but do you know what? I'll match you on a 7 and just give it a solid 14 out of 20.
Very good. Well, there we go. That's our little, our opinion on 8-Bit Christmas. Have you guys seen it? Do you like it? Do you hate it? Do you think it's great? Do you think it's dull as fuck? What do you think of our podcast? Let us know. Get in touch. Always nice hearing from you.
Quite frankly, if you've got about, an hour and 10 into our podcast and you haven't seen this film, what the fuck are you doing?
Hey, you fucking weirdos.
Yeah,
what's the matter with you? Jesus.
Fucking what?
Just because it's fucking Christmas.
No, it is definitely worth a watch. Yeah,
and we definitely appreciate you guys listening to us as well. And don't forget, pinch other people's phones, subscribe to us. And if you take a picture of yourself doing it, we'll put a picture of you on the website and on the Facebook and all that. And
Darren will get a tattoo of you.
Will I?
Huh?
I don't agree to that. I will if you will.
Nope.
Exactly. Anyway, and leave us a review as well. If you've not left us a review, I mean, we're getting so many downloads now, which is great. Fantastic. Thank you very much. Please leave us a review.
Yeah, if you can take literally 5 minutes Apple Podcasts, where you listen to it, just give us a review.
Yeah. That'd say, fantastic, best podcast ever. These guys are amazing.
Yep.
They're sexy as fuck.
If you don't think so, massive penises. Then just shut up.
Yeah. Essentially. Anyway, yes, there we go. Fuck, you know. Next week, Mr. Matthew.
Right, next week, the tagline for next week's film.
Mm-hmm.
When Kevin's family left for vacation, they forgot one minor detail. Kevin. But don't worry, he cooks, he cleans, he kicks some butt.
Oh.
I mean, what on earth could that be?
I have no idea.
And again, we're breaking some rules. It's Christmas, we're breaking some rules.
Fuck it, it's a great film. Yeah. And it started production in the 80s.
So yeah. Well, that's Kiss what we're doing
this week. Starboard rectum.
You filthy animal.
Why are you dressed like a chicken? Anyway, yes, there we go. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast. If you don't listen to anything else from us this year, have a great Christmas and New Year. And hopefully you'll come back to us at some point. Fucking better, we'll hunt you down.
I guess that's it then, Darren.
I guess so.
We've got one more week until Christmas.
Yeah.
So, and also, just on a quick offshoot, Neil Patrick Harris, the wonderful man in this film, was also in last week's Doctor Who. Hopefully it's good.
For us, it's next week's.
Yeah, but...
But we know who's in last night's Doctor Who, don't we?
Yeah.
Oh, God bless you, Bernie.
But there we are. Yeah. So that's it. Yeah, so okay, then. Daz, anything else?
No, leave me alone.
Well, listen, folks, Merry Christmas. And until next time, then, I've been Matt.
And I am Darren.
Cheersy! So basically, I'm going to give you two reviews. It was amazing. It wasn't amazing. Whichever you want to edit, Darren, that's your responsibility.